From across the comic book community multiverse, the Comic-Con podcast begins now with your hosts, Justin, a.k.a. Nemesis Prime.
If you give them the title of influencer, then that's giving them more power, right? That's how it is. Like, I'm a nobody. Listen, I'm a nobody.
Zach, a.k.a. the Manimal.
We talked about it for a full, I believe, 7 to 8 minutes on an hour-long normal podcast for a show. And you would have thought we set their house on fire with the backlash. So,
what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Clout Chasing, Comic-Con podcast season 3, episode 45. Your hosts, the one, the only, Nemesis Prime, who, you know, is a troll. And then the king of all trolls, Milton the Manimal.
Yeah.
Man. Fucking community, bro. What's going on?
You know, so we talked, obviously, hopefully no one thinks that we just like Justin and I just log onto StreamYard and then immediately start. Obviously, everyone knows we kind of have some conversations before we start the podcast, which, by the way, it's the November 8th Wednesday. We're recording today because neither one of us are sure if we're going to go. We might break our tradition of going to see a Marvel movie opening night, but we're leaving the options open. But anyway, we talked about what we're going to talk about in the community this week. You know, obviously we spent a lot of time last week, as well as on Justin and Binky's and myself on the live on, you know, dealing with the Epic Nation collection, whatnot, thievery. Well, I guess I shouldn't say whatnot, but Epic Nation thievery situation. Mm. So we talked about whether we're going to talk about it too much or that at all, but we do think we got to take about it a little bit. We definitely are, you know, at the forefront of the pack, kind of helping lead this charge amongst other pillars of the community. And one of the things, I guess, what I wanted to say, obviously we're not going to rehash the whole drama. Everyone knows this dude stole. Everyone knows this guy's a scumbag in multiple situations. If you've listened to anything, you know, if you've followed anything on Instagram, you've seen the multitudes of skullduggery that this guy's up to. But I think where I'm at, and then we'll hear where Justin's at, and then maybe that's kind of what we'll talk about, is where we're at in this process of the Epic Nation situation. I think, and I told Justin this, I think my focus right now on this situation is one, and I guess, look, this is a bit of a warning as well. I'm letting out a warning shot to anyone who's listening. Moving forward, anyone who does business with Epic will be catching heat from myself. Like, that's really all there is to it. Like, I don't really care. I don't care if you're dumb enough to believe that he didn't steal, or even if it was his employee, the lies that ensued afterwards are inappropriate. Not to mention all the other situations that have come up with him being, you know, low integrity. So at this point, if I find out anyone, if I hear of anyone, whether it's exclusive or artists or vendors or shops that allow him to set up at their booths at little cons or big cons or whatever, like, it's throat cutting time, in my opinion, for that. That's my main focus. I think my second focus, and Justin and I were kind of talking about this, there's a lot of people out there in the community who are very much like, hey, you know, let's be positive. There's a lot of negativity. This is so negative. You guys are so negative. You're trolls or whatever. You know, it's really bothering me because, like, everyone's calling this drama, and we have as well. Let's be honest. We've clickbaited a little bit with the drama, and we've talked drama on this chat or in this podcast before, use that as a term. But that isn't the term for what's going on here. This isn't drama. This isn't individuals saying stupid shit. This isn't individuals making acetate covers or cutting to the front of the lines or any of that, which is drama, right, Justin?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, this is crime. This is a crime perpetrated on the community by a member of the community who's profiting off of the community. So I don't want to hear anyone call this drama. I don't want to hear anyone say, stop being negative. Let's start talking about positivity. No, negative. It's full pedal to the threshold until he's gone. And that's where I stand. Justin, what about you?
Mm. Yeah, you know, I'm going to kind of take it as far as on the community side. And like you said, the communities, you know, there's some members out there making videos saying that it's all about the clickbaiting. It's all about the drama. It's all about getting the views and stuff like that. And you know what? And Zach and I have spoken about this before. We've said it on the podcast. We speak on phone calls and texts. Like, we don't do this for all the clicks and everything. Like, we understand that, listen, we're not out there trying to make a a million views to get to do this and to do that. Like, we like having fun. We like talking for an hour. Like, it's great to be able to talk comic books with someone when, you know, people in my personal life, like my friends that I've known for 20 plus years, like they're not in the comics. Like, so I can't have these right. conversations with someone like that. So, you know, it's not so much the drama that these people are putting out there. It's, you know, we're letting people know, you know, we have a voice, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Zach's been on YouTube channels. Like, I've been on YouTube channels. You know, a lot of the old cats, they don't do stuff like this. They're not the ones, it's not coming from them because they don't care anymore, realistically. And that's fine, right? That's, you know,
right.
You know,
to
I'll
each
throw
their
it
own
out
in
there.
The community,
yeah,
right?
To each their own. Like, you know, nothing, literally nothing against these people. They are genuine community members. You know, obviously both of us came from on Lords of Longbox, Three Men in a Basement, Spine Ticks, you know, Team Nerd Herd, the NY Warriors. You know, those are just a few names, right? Like, those are old cats. Like, there's a lot of new people that came into this community just prior to COVID, during COVID, after COVID. And I think sometimes there's a difference, right? Like, you and I, we spoke about this. We're on that cusp of, we're kind of the old guys in the community,
right?
Not because of our age, just because we've been in, you know, we've seen it. And I think that's the problem, is that a lot of people that are making these videos don't understand that it's, for us, it's not, again, it's, I'm not, we're not Comic Tom. I'm not trying to make fucking videos to, for whatever reasons, or the,
yeah, it's not our livelihood.
Yeah, that's not what it is. I just do this for an hour for fun once a week. Yeah, I mean, like, literally, what did we go? I went live twice in a week's time, is probably the most time I've ever been live on a
right.
YouTube show in probably the past 2 years. Like, yes, I've jumped on to like Newbie Show or Black Crown or whoever, if someone asks me, but yeah, I don't know. Like, again, we're voices of the community, and people need to step up in voices of the community. You know, don't be, I posted it on my Instagram the other day, whether you're a retailer or a person in the comic book community, you know, you should have a voice. Don't be scared to say something because of cancel culture. You know,
right.
If it's wrong, it's not about drama. Zach and I know all about the drama. We got it last year when we called out certain people, whatever, you know, this is a completely different thing. This is right. not a community drama. This is a community theft, and people should be, you know, speaking up, you know. Yeah.
It's circle the wagon times.
Yeah.
For the community.
You know, and I'll say some, you know, obviously Goose City Comics, go check them out on YouTube. They have a great YouTube channel. They put out a video earlier in the week, and last week, and it was, they had the information wrong. They had this video about Epic stealing a Nerdy Show, which was completely wrong. And I commented, I said, listen, you don't have the facts right. You know, and I just want you to understand that people are going to come at you and listen to this if they don't know the other information, and it's going to be wrong. Like, and then it's going to open up more can of worms. It's going to start more rumors. And then other people reached out to me and they wanted to do videos, and nobody did these videos. So I think because so many people like us and Brian and Thoreau have already done that. So again, I think we all need to have a voice, and we all need to move forward. I don't want to say that. Like, I don't think this is a stop and, you know, like a stop and go thing. Like, it needs to stay
on
the gas.
Don't move on, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Don't move on yet. Yeah.
And the one thing that I feel like it is going to slow down a little bit is because it's November. There's no more big cons, right? Like, if this was March, April, May, you'd be seeing like big shows week after week or every 2 weeks. And then you'd really get to see the promoters and how these other vendors are going to treat this situation. We don't have our next big show until like February, and that's MegaCon, which I'm going to, which he said he was going to. So
yeah,
let's kind of see what happens.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, we're not going to spend a lot of the time talking about that, but I do want to piggyback off some of the things you said. You know, surprise to anyone out there, Justin and I make 0 cents off of our podcast or off of our Instagram or off anything YouTube. Like I said, this isn't our livelihood. We don't do this for clicks, like some people, you know, like to accuse us. And it's funny, look at the people who say that. It's very ironic. Like, the people who are saying, hey man, you're doing this as clickbait and drama, are people who actually try to make livelihood off of clicks and views and stuff like that. But we don't do that. We've never done that. I'm pretty sure
we're so far, real quick, I think we're so far in the red that, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Between, let's just real quick, like, sorry to cut you off.
No.
We do that. We do, you know, I constantly order stuff from Sticker Mule. You have the monthly StreamYard right?
Yeah.
We do the t-shirts. I literally charge a dollar over what I pay for them. So we literally make no money off of that.
Right.
We did the variant. Okay. So we made a little bit of money there, but we've still been doing this for, yeah. So we've still been doing this for 3 years and I'm pretty sure we're like,
yeah, we're probably below, like we're definitely not even
way in the hole. Like I'm swimming in red. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's not why we do this. And so that's like the thing here, you know, when people say the clickbait and the drama and stuff like that's why it bugs me. But like, I will say this as well. And I think, and this isn't like a toot our own horn type thing, because it's not just us. Like this, what I'm getting ready to say, like applies to a few other people who I'll name as well. But we don't have any stake in the game. And I feel like that gives us a certain amount of power where we can't be canceled, because how do you cancel someone who's not really even doing anything, you know? So ourselves, Thoreau, McClay, a few other people, you know, those are the ones I feel comfortable naming right now. But like, we're not doing this for clicks. We're not doing this for money. We're doing this to educate and inform and let you know that there is a snake in the grass out there. So I guess like my final parting thought on this situation before, you know, you do the same as well. And we move on to the fun stuff. But it's like I said, my two things, I'm coming at you. If you do business with this guy in the future, if I find out you buy from him on whatnot, I'm probably coming at you. So that's a warning shot. And I don't want to hear the troll comments. I don't want to hear the positivity. Let's be positive. Stop the negativity. Like that's going to go in one ear, out the other. And you'll be lucky if I don't respond to that. But like I said, this is circle the wagon time. Community protects the community. And that's what we should be doing. We should be ousting this person. He should be pariah, gone. And this, you know, like Justin said, there's no cons coming up. The success here is you don't see him at con. 2023 is the last year of Epic Nation. That is the success, is we don't see him at MegaCon. We don't see him at the vendor things you go to in like the
East Coast. Yeah, here in New York, New Jersey. Yep.
So that's it. Justin?
Just keep in mind, open your eyes, people, open your ears. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't let this just fade away, because if we let one snake stay in the community, then more snakes can continue to be there. Right. And I feel like that, you know, again, another person put out a video about how we're not a community. I think I completely disagree with that. I think we are who we are because of, you know, I said this to Zach earlier today, is that we make friends in this community to help others out, to help build our collections. People look out for each other. People hit me up with their books that they're trying to move, when obviously typically Star Wars or Batman things. Hey, I'm looking to move some books. Do you want these before I, you know, put it out to the masses? And I appreciate that from people. And I think that's the same thing. You know, like I said to Zach, when I was talking about this, it's like Zach was working on his Ghost Rider run. And at that time every time I hit the shop, I never go through the Ghost Rider section, but I knew Zach was working on it.
You're so asking like, which ones I needed. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, this is what they have. The prices are cheap. I think whatever you need, I'll literally pick up whatever you want. Like, and I think that's the thing, is like, we all look out for each other for everything. And again, yeah, Zach and I have no stake in this game. We're not vendors. We're not retailers. We're two guys who like the hobby, who've been in the hobby for a very long time. And you know, we appreciate everybody who's stuck around, who likes us, who doesn't like us, who's new to the hobby, who's old school to the hobby. And I think that's the best thing.
One last comment about community. I will say as shitty of a situation this is, and a black mark kind of like on the community a little bit. Like, shout out if anyone's listening to all like the new people that I'm talking to, like people who have reached out to me who I didn't really have a lot of connection with. You know, I didn't know Queen's Comic Party, Sub-Zero, Get It Collectibles, these guys like that. Like, I didn't have any kind of association with these people before, and it's awesome. Like, I love it, you know. I love meeting new people. I've had a lot of people, like, obviously, I guess if you're clickbaitish topics, like I've had a lot of new friends or followers on Instagram, but it's not just like followers. It's people who are actually like reaching out and talking to me, which if you know me, like I will have an open dialogue with anyone in the open, as some people unfortunately are finding out, or privately on the DMs as well. So that's, I guess that's been one silver lining to this, as there's been some good connections and, hopefully some good friendships moving forward. So
yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's get into, of course, what we always like to talk about, because this is a comic book podcast, people. There's comic books to read, so weekly reads. You're going to start off with some weekly reads. Finally got to catch up on everything over the past couple weeks. I just wanted to touch base on some older stuff. I know Zach talked about this last week, the Universal Monsters Dracula by James and Martin. So now, here's the problem, the issue I had with this. I hate Martin Simmons' art. And he really bothered me.
Weird for surprise, because you're an art guy and it's very artistic. It's very artistic.
It's so out there. And he did the same thing with Department of Truth. And that's one of the reasons why I didn't like Department of Truth. So I'm not sure if I'm actually going to stick with this, because I never really liked his art, and I didn't realize it until I picked it up and I
didn't realize I liked it.
Yeah, because you know what it is? I looked at the writer. Yeah. I didn't look at the artist. I get you. And that's typically sometimes, even though, again, like you said, I'm an art guy, I should really look at who's the artist, but I didn't on that one. I'm sure we're both going to talk about this, so I'm going to hold it off for you. Punisher, I'm sure you definitely read it this week, so we'll kind of both talk about this. Let's kind of talk about, so we had, you briefly talked about this, the Scorched Earth, obviously the end of the whole Batman Gotham War, Batman Catwoman. So you had Batman 139, man, Chip Zdarsky, yo, can do no wrong with Batman. I'm sorry, right?
Oh, I didn't read 139 yet, but go for it. It's okay. I have two issues left. I didn't read Thanos and I didn't read 139.
Okay. So, yeah. So, obviously, the end of Scorched Earth. Now we can kind of be more spoilerish. So, obviously, Nightwing kind of locked him out of the whole Bat network. So, he's kind of on his own. He's less gadgets. And, you know, the family doesn't like him, right? And in this issue, now we see a Bruce Wayne who can't go back to Wayne Manor. So, he's kind of has no money. He doesn't have everything. He doesn't have the gadgets. He's in like a brownstone. Mm-hmm. And he's basically looking for the Joker. And I love how Chip Zdarsky does this in a way where it is like the old school. And Jeff talked about this, the old school way of comic book writing, where you'd have the little like asterisks and they would show you, oh, they're referencing this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's like times.
Last scene, an issue, whatever, something like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. So what's great about this issue is they talk about the three Jokers. So they reference Justice League 50.
They did in the last issue, too, in 138, I think. Or maybe it was in Scorched Earth. They mention it. They do an asterisk about three Jokers as well. I thought that was really interesting.
So, like, I like how they do that. So this obviously is the new story arc. I think it's going to be a 3 or 4 issue story arc called Mind Bomb. It's all about the Joker. Batman's trying to find the Joker with somewhat of the help of the Riddler. But again, with Chip Zdarsky writing this, he's somehow, you know, Joker knows who he is, obviously. And that's kind of been a more newer thing, like the new 52-ish, I guess, when he found out. And it's crazy to think that he knows who he is, but doesn't really do anything. And I always
love
that.
He doesn't really care. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't really care. Like,
it's kind of irrelevant to him.
Yes. So in this issue, and then same thing, like Chip Zdarsky brings up people that trained Bruce Wayne. And the same thing, the asterisk comes up and it was like Batman the Knight. And I was like, oh, that's right.
Such an underrated people. If you haven't read Batman the Knight, so it's so good.
Yeah, I know. So I thought about that. I was like, oh my God, that's right. He did that 12 issue run. Yeah. So like the people that were first introduced in that limited series are in this very briefly. But yeah, it's really about this, again, the Chip Zdarsky doing the whole cross, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of thing with Zara Earth, Batman. Joker's trying to bring him out because he really wants to fight him, not the normal Bruce Wayne. So
I'm excited.
Definitely. Yeah, dude, it's such a good issue. And then kind of some other, you know, other stuff that came out, kind of, we'll talk about some Star Wars stuff. So, last week we had the Star Wars Hyperspace Stories number 10, which is the first appearance of the Bad Batch. Gotta say, an absolute terrible story for a first appearance of characters who are pretty popular, pretty predominant right now in obviously Disney Plus and animation. It's basically about, you have the Bad Batch and they find this stupid little plushy doll or like a Chewbacca doll from some kid. And the whole story is about them trying to get it back to whoever lost it. Right. Hmm. And like, obviously Wrecker is the one pretty much carrying it. Cause you know, Wrecker's like the big dumb idiot type of way.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I'm like, really, this, they could have had such a cooler first appearance than is kind of like kids-ish story, especially because even Bad Batch is not really like a kid cartoon.
Nah, not really. Yeah.
So I really wasn't feeling it, but of course it was, you know, I think it was a number one or number two on the top 10 for cover price, because of course everybody wants to go and buy it. But I guess really picks of the week, you know, we got phase three of Star Wars High Republic is back. I'm happy about it because I absolutely didn't like phase two.
Yeah.
So we have both the two issues that came out this week. You have Shadows of Starlight number two, and then High Republic number one, volume three, number one. So it's interesting stuff because the Shadows of Starlight, they're kind of doing, it's a four issue mini, but they're more one shots.
Yeah.
Different characters.
I'm really enjoying it too. Like everyone's view of what's like since the events. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good take.
Yeah. It's very interesting. So the problem that I kind of did it backwards. And did you read these two issues?
Yeah. They were actually going to be like honorable mentions for me. So I'm glad you're talking about
them. So I read High Republic one before I read Starlight.
Same.
And it should have been the reverse because Shadows of Starlight.
So I wondered that though, but the list in the back of High Republic actually shows the reading order actually High Republic first.
But here's the thing. So volume three, issue one starts off 1 year after phase one, right? Yeah. After the Starlight Beacon is destroyed. But with Shadows of Starlight, it picks up 1 week after it follows Avar Chris, follows Elzar Man, and it follows the 1 week, then 1 month, and like six months, because then eventually at the end of issue one, you hear the name Avar Chris again, like she's coming with her flagship. So I like the Shadows of Starlight was very good because again, it gives you one Jedi's point of view. It builds the relationship between Elzar Mann. You find out that Elzar Mann and Stellan Geos were kind of like companions growing up as Padawans in a way in the Jedi Temple. So you felt you get the understanding of what happened in phase one with Stellan. I thought it was just an amazing issue because I love Avar Chris. She's definitely my favorite character in the High Republic era. And then you got on the flip side, you get the volume one, obviously 1 year later, Keith Trennis is no longer a Jedi, you know, no longer Padawan Jedi Knight, Master. Yeah. Totally older. And they're kind of, you find out that the Nihil are, you know, out in the outer rim, they've set up this thing called the Collision Zone and basically nothing can get past it. And of course, they're running around with those nameless that are just, which again, they just destroy the Jedi. And it's interesting, again, that we have villains or we have beings that can battle the Jedi that are not like Sith, right?
And that we've never heard of.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
so I think it's amazing that they actually can do this. And there's like, okay, it's fine. You know, we're not going to see characters, you know, it's not going to be a Sith Lord or it's not going to be tons. It's just not going to be Jedi versus Sith. It's actually going to be some type of Marauder or pirates, and then these creatures that pretty much have the ability to just destroy the Jedi. And then obviously the end of, and this is not really too much of a spoiler because she's literally right on the cover, the return of Lorna D right at the end, which was cool, working for the Hutts. So yeah, I'm excited to see this phase. And I like how, like you said, in the back of the book, it literally just, it's going to tell you like this whole phase order, those four issues for Shadows of Starlight. And then the 10 issue, this is going to be a 10 issue run. So you know exactly how long it's going to go and what's going to be part of this phase.
Yeah, I really enjoyed him as well. And it's funny that Avar Chris is like your favorite character. I think it might be a tie for me. I'm a big Elzar Mann fan. And I kind of really got, you didn't really get much of him in the comics in the first phase. You got him more in the novels. And you and I both read majority of the novels. So, and I really do feel like Elzar Mann's going to be, he's going to struggle with the dark side. I really think moving forward, he's definitely like borderline, like a gray Jedi right now. He has anger issues. He kind of operates in the bubble a little bit. So I really like Elzar Mann. And I'm excited for next issue has, Bell. Yeah. Bell Zephyr and Ember. That'll be a good one. And I think we're going to get some information on Buryaga in that one too. So I'm really excited for that. But yeah, I really like issue one of High Republic as well. Super strong coming out. Keeve is an amazing character. I love the change with Saret and Tarek, the twins, how like because of the shit they've gone through, they don't jive anymore. And I really hope we get to see more of that without spoiling too much of that issue. I want to see that develop a little bit further. But yeah,
it sucks because like if you didn't really read because it was just such a gap, right, between phase one and phase three.
Phase two kind of killed it. You forgot a lot of shit, you know, like It was just dumb. It's got to play in. If it doesn't play in, it was just a waste of time.
Yeah, like none of the characters were memorable for me, yeah, other than like that four issue, the Blade series.
The Blade was
and the Nameless Terra was the only cool issues, like that, like the Dark Horse one.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of the Marvel, so.
Yeah, and I think I've kind of given up on the adventures. I'm not sure I'm going to read that.
I don't even know what it is for the Dark Horse side, to be honest.
I think they're still going to do Star Wars High Republic Adventures. Like, I saw it in the solicitation somewhere.
I know
it comes out, but but yeah.
What about you? What about weekly reads?
Yeah, those. I mean, you nailed those ones, and then I'll come back to. We'll talk the Punisher at the end here, but like, I think this week the ones, and I had some. One of these books is kind of older. I got a bunch of books from DCBS late. Sorry, I'm looking through this real quick to remind me, but yeah, I really liked Void. I'm loving the Energon universe. Period. Like, I'm standing right now for the Energon universe. So I liked Void Rivals. I know some people have said they haven't been crazy about the story, but I do enjoy it. I like that it's new characters, but I love that you're getting a dabble into the universes as well. You're getting like the quintessence, or what are they called? The quintessential.
Quintessons.
Yeah, quintessons. And then, so you're getting some Transformer stuff, but you're also getting a new universe. And I'm enjoying that story. I think it's fun, and I'm getting invested in the characters as well. And I love Transformers number two, man. I'm really loving it. I love it. I think it's fun. I think it's great. I've said this a million times. I love how pared down it is in terms of characters. Like, you got four or five Decepticons, you got four or five Autobots. Let's go right there. You know, like, mm-hmm. I love how pared down the story is and how like close to the market is of the Generation One cartoon, but a little bit different, another take on it. You got some Megatron sighting in this issue without a name, which I thought was like strong. It was very, it had like left an imprint on you. It's like Optimus telling Spike about Cybertron. He's like, and then the leader of the Decepticons, he doesn't mention him by name. You see shadowed Megatron, mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was cool. Like, there was a lot of power to that. And then still like no mention of, yo, where is he? Because the last thing you saw was, hey, basically like in Generation One, the cartoon, they boarded us as we were trying to escape Cybertron, and then we crashed. But when they crashed or when we saw him in the first issue, Megatron's nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that's cool. Now he's like this shadowy figure looming in the background, which is perfect because we don't need him right now, but he's there. Like, he's a presence to be felt. So
because he's the type of character, obviously, with his alt mode is he could just be with the military just as a gun, right?
Yeah, like,
that's
simple. Right. So I think that's cool. I'm really enjoying it. I loved the Duke introduction, and I wouldn't have spoiled this if it hadn't already been spoiled on. I kind of wish it wouldn't have. I saw this on some sites. I'm not going to, and no hate or no shame. I'm not going to mention the sites because I don't want to ruin it for anyone else as I'm about.
I mean, it was out there.
I'm about ready to ruin it anyway. So
people put it out there. What the first appearances on all these books come out.
So you get to see like a Duke first appearance in this too. So it's just like so seamless, like how it's kind of like they're moving it together in the Energon universe. And I thought that was cool. And in the back of both issues, Void Rivals and Transformers, you get a preview of Duke number one. So cool stuff. Really, really like that. And then, let's talk Punisher here. Man, a little underwhelming. I'm not sure what your opinion of it was, but like, there wasn't a lot of standout on this. I felt like I'm not upset by it, but I was kind of hoping for more. I mean, you got this SHIELD agent whose family was killed. It's almost like, and then he's got a person working, like a person in the chair, very much exactly. What's his name?
Fix it or no.
Oh my God. I cannot believe it.
Micro.
Yeah. Microchip. Yeah. And it's just like, this is what we did. And it's Joe Garrison. I mean, it's a pretty standard name. He's a standard looking dude. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I was just like, meh. We'll see how it goes. But
I mean, it's violent, which is, that's good.
Yeah.
I like how they think it's Frank Castle. So that's how like the news portrays it. They're like, oh, is the Punisher back? Is Frank Castle back?
Yeah.
And he's about that life of, well, he's like, let them think that and let all that information go out there. And, you know, so they won't be looking for him. But yeah, I thought about this as I was reading it, and I was like thinking of characters that when they bring back these, when they not reincarnate characters, but when they take an existing character and then just change them over. Like, obviously, we've gotten multiple versions of like Captain Marvel and like the Robins in the DC universe.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we talked about this last year when like Jerry Conway said that, you know, oh, if he could do a Punisher now, he would do like a Black Vet and this and that. And to be honest, like, did we really need like a new Punisher? Like, do we need the series to be called Punisher? Like, I was thinking about this too. I'm like, and this would actually be a good topic for if we like when we do another like State of the Comics. Do you like when they do first appearance of characters in like their first issue of a title, or do you like it when they're introduced in like something completely different?
Pretty indifferent. I mean, I think it is cool. Like, let's say for whatever reason, Joe Garrison hits big, right? And he just becomes a badass character. It's nice to know that no one's going to be like, oh, his first appearance, you know, it's Punisher one. That's it. That's it. We're not doing this 180, 181 Incredible Hulk bullshit, you know? So like, yeah. I appreciate that there's no cameo. That's nice. But I'm pretty indifferent about
that. But he was a SHIELD agent, so he could have been in the background of some random SHIELD.
Someone will find some. That's the thing. I bet you could look at any SHIELD issue. There's some dude who looks like Joe Garrison. He's a white blonde dude with like a bowl cut. Like, he's there. Yeah. he's there. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't know if this you felt this way, but I didn't feel the like emotional connection of like I felt like whenever you read Punisher, and maybe I'm skewed because I, you know, grew up with Punisher and I've lived through all the incarnations of like the movies and the shows and stuff like that. And I always feel it. I feel it how Punisher's family was killed, and like I feel that like there's times in myself when I see that and I'm like, man, if that happened to my family, like that's, I don't know, man, like that, I feel like maybe I could go that route as well. I didn't feel like this guy, I didn't feel it with him. He didn't like, you know, the emotion didn't seem there. And granted, it's issue one, so I want to give it time. I know there might be some big Punisher fans out there that really want this to succeed. And so do I. So I'm going to give it time to breathe. We'll see how it goes. But I didn't really get the emotional like connection with the loss of his family.
Like, it was violent, but he didn't have that. He didn't have
a reaction really to him.
Yeah. He was very like
that was his job.
Calm and, you know? Yeah. You know, cool, calm and collective instead of like, you know, looking for this guy. Like, I think he would be a little bit more like brutal.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, some of the fights are brutal, but not like that type of brutal. If you know what
I mean, it literally seemed like this was his SHIELD mission.
Yeah.
So, but let's give it some time. We'll see how it goes. You know, I kind of disagree with you when you said, did we need another Punisher title? And I kind of feel like we do because of all that, the controversy. Like, I don't agree with that controversy. We talked about this when it all came out, the Jerry Conway and how they ended the old Punisher series. And then obviously Jason Aaron did an amazing Punisher series, but then said he's walking away from the name the Punisher. Frank Castle's gone. I'm sure I'll be back. But I don't like that real world situations affected, like real world sociopolitics affected this comic book. Like, that bugs me. Just like I don't want politics in my comic books. I don't want comic books to follow like drama in the real world. You know, like let it exist, dude. So I'm kind of glad they brought back the Punisher because it's a mainstay, man. Like, it's a Marvel mainstay. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yep. But anything else?
No, man. There were some good books, dude. There's some good books. Let me ask you real quick. Did you, with your DCBS, did they give you this Vault Unnatural Order?
I haven't gotten my new shipment. So okay. No.
I got two copies of it. And like, they give you free shit, like bag and board this stuff. I already get bags and boards on the rest of them. Like, what does it cost? You charge 10 cents.
Yeah, they slap it in there. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like literally just like loose in there, but it is Kyle Yost. It's Vault Comics, Kyle Yost, or Christopher Yost, I'm sorry. Unnatural Order. I'm actually kind of excited. I'm going to read this real quick on the back. It says, after the fall of the Britons and the Roman invasion of Hibernia, the captive known only as the Druid is released, sending a darkness across the world, an age of horrors, of fire and entrails. As the innocent burn in the wicker fields, those who would resist learn of the existence of a man who even the Druid fears. For it is this prisoner, a soldier from a different time, who alone knows the Druid's secret. This is not how the world is supposed to be. So, pretty cool. Sounds pretty cool. Romans. We talked about the Romans. We're always thinking about the Roman Empire. So I'm ready to read that book. Nice.
All right.
Anyway,
I'll give it a shot when I get it as well. So let's stick with some comic books. This article is about a month old, but I figure the comic's coming out next week, so it's perfect. This is over at thepopverse.com. Marvel Carnage series comic book is scarier than the publisher thought, and it's now warning retailers. So retailers have been advised that Carnage is no longer suitable for preteens. So it looks like Spider-Man isn't the only character so spooky that Marvel's had to age rating on a comic before it arrives to its stores just weeks after. Now, this is obviously older, a little bit, about a month ago, just weeks after Spine-Tingling Spider-Man number one jumped from Teen Plus rating to Parental Advisory Notice. The same fate has befallen on one of its villains, which it should. Notification was sent out to comic book stores Thursday, advised that the first two issues of the upcoming Carnage series done by Taran Grombeck and Perry Perez will now carry Parental Advisory ratings as opposed to Teen and Teen Up. I'm pretty excited about this. So given that the horror theme, Spine-Tingling Spider-Man's issues have already gone through a similar reevaluations, it's not entirely surprising that the age rating for Carnage, a series centering around a psychopath killer that's teased its first issues as being shocking and unexpected, is being upped. In fact, all things considered, it might actually have more strong harmful for its target audience if it hadn't been. After all, imagine a world where in which Spider-Man of all people had turned out to be scarier than one of Venom's more creepy offspring. So this comes out next week on the 15th. I figured, hey, let's talk about it, because I'm sure this book will most likely be our top picks of the week. I mean, the last full Carnage series was amazing. Prior to like the whole Donny Cates making, you know, Null and Symbiote and stuff. Like, I think that series was absolutely amazing. Some of the older Carnage, like three issues, like Carnage USA was good.
Yeah.
Minimum and Maximum Carnage. Like those, he is just such a great, great character. Like,
yeah.
Such a psychopath. And I think this is perfect for the comic coming out. I'm sure you're picking up number one, right? You're ready for this.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, one of the things I'm most excited about this, besides like, and this is, I'm with you too. Like, hell yeah, dude, make it scary. Make it gory. Like, this is how Carnage is. Carnage actually might be one of the last full on villains Marvel has. Like, that they haven't tried to make an anti-hero. They haven't, he's never gone good. Like, I don't know how you would ever make Carnage go good besides maybe, I guess. And I love it now, even like in the last run. So I'm kind of dovetailing here a little bit, but in the last run you split up, you had Cletus Cassidy and you had Carnage, and they were both pieces of shit still. Like, I love that. Like, don't ever give me the Carnage symbiote on like a good person and he like makes them good. Like, that'll piss me off, you know, but yeah, so I loved it. But the thing I'm actually kind of like, I really excited about this for is, and I apologize if, you know, I'm sure she's not listening to this, but if she is or anyone else and I'm mispronouncing her name, Tarun, it really seemed like she's getting the seal of approval from Marvel. She's kind of in like, in her defense, man, she had to pick up some dog shit series, right? So like, she wrote the end of Thor, kind of finished it out, you know, which is never good when it had plans and then you have to come in and kind of pick it up. And she finished it pretty strong. She did a great job there. She's also finishing or currently writing Venom as well. And same thing, like it's good, but she unfortunately has to work off the playbook that someone else set up, you know what I mean? She's also writing Realm of X, which is a miniseries for Fall of X, which is pretty strong as well. So I like that the Marvel is giving her like her own, like, hey, here you go. Fresh start. Here's an issue one, run with it. So I'm excited for her. I'm excited to kind of see what she does on her own as okay, now it's my story. I get to do it how I want to. So yeah, shout out to, like I said, I hope I'm not butchering name, Tarun Grombeck. Obviously some, like, I think Scandinavian. I couldn't tell you where, but yeah. I think that's what I'm excited about. I'm really intrigued to see her writing fresh out of her mind with like, no, she didn't have to clean up other people's messes. Yep. So to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've gotten some stuff on that last Carnage run that kind of was just like all over the place, but
yeah.
You start off with a strong issue one and you can continue the series and, you know, and I'm sure just like the last series, which the last full series that was very, very well done was like 15. The previous one was right around that mark as well. Like, that's what you need with these type of, again, how many of the villains in the Marvel universe get their own title? Right.
Right.
There's like a new Thanos Doom. This week.
Doom gets it. Thanos, yeah. Carnage. But even Doom, can you even call Doom a legit villain anymore? Magneto gets his own title, but he's not a legit villain. I mean,
Loki, same thing.
Loki, I guess Thanos for sure. I mean, but even Thanos kind of has that whole, like, you know, for the best good, the good of all type thing.
yeah.
But yeah, he's like really, Carnage is really like the last true villain, right?
Uh-huh.
Sucks it's a Spider-Man character.
You know.
Garbage.
Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, I guess he is the last, because even like Norman Osborn, right?
Yeah.
Like the Gold Goblin thing that they did, like, come on, like.
Well, and then X-Men, almost every X-Men villain, you know, with the Age of Krakoa, they're all one big team. They mm-hmm. have been. So, like, even Sinister has kind of played good guy. Apocalypse is more good than bad these days. Sabretooth. Yeah. Yeah, dang. It's crazy to think that, right? Just Carnage.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I mean, like, God bless the person who tries, like, you know what? I'm going to try to make Carnage good. Like, good luck with that, dude. This guy's a psychopath serial.
Yeah, player. Exactly.
I don't know how you're going to retcon that backstory.
Not going to happen.
Gonna be rough, dude.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see how they do it. Is it going to be grounded, or is it going to be like the space thing? Like, I'm sure it's going to be grounded, which I think is what's great about the Carnage. Again, yeah, psychopath killer. So
I'd like to see it move away from the Null stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, let's get back to just Carnage, just murking people.
True.
Yeah.
So yeah, coming out next week, Carnage number one. So be on the lookout for that, as well as I'm sure some variants for that too. So Carnage number one, November 15th. Let's get out of our comic book section. Let's get into some movie news. So obviously with the writer's strike kind of coming to an end, we get some movie and TV stuff to talk about. So over at Deadline, we had to be talking about this. Legend of Zelda live action pick is in the works at Sony, with Wes Ball directing, Nintendo co-financing. So Sony's making sure its future theatrical franchises covered it, as the actor strike appears to be winding down. The studio is co-franchising with Nintendo a live action feature of popular video game franchise known as The Legend of Zelda. Have you ever heard of this before?
I'm pretty sure.
Maze Runner franchise and Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes filmmaker Wes Ball is directing it. You have Derek Connolly is penning the adaptations. He's repped by Verb. Ball is producing the movie with his producing partners Joe Herrick under their Oddball Entertainment banner. So the video game, if you don't know, I can't believe I have to actually say this, but the video game, created by Japanese designer Shuji Miyamoto, launched in 1986. It follows the elf-like warrior Link and his elegant princess Zelda as they fight to save the magical land of Hyrule from Ganon, an evil warlord turned demon king. So yeah.
All right. I kind of feel like we're betraying Ken a little bit.
I know, but he's going to be
without him here, right?
I know. Don't worry, Ken. You're going to be on here soon.
Dude, I couldn't be more excited about this.
All right. So here's the thing. This is where it gets worrying.
Like, I know what you're going to say, and I'm with you.
Yeah. All right. So we're in our 40s, right? You just turned 40. No, you didn't yet.
Okay. Soon.
Soon enough.
Next month.
But whatever. We'll just call this like the old timers. Like, we've all played it. Mm-hmm. We've been playing it. Zelda. Whatever, Link to the Past, Ocarina of Time, you name it. Yeah, every incarnation. I haven't played in Tears of the Kingdom, but like, you really can't fuck this up.
Yeah, and so here's the question. You know, I actually was talking, I was chatting with Black Crown about this. He sent this to me on Instagram as well, and we were talking about it. And we were having a lively conversation about, does he talk? Does Link talk? And like, what do you do here, man? Because Link's never talked. And that's always, I think we talked about this previously, how Link was created as like a mirror of you, the player. That's why he only makes weirdo noises. And you never actually hear a voice. And Black Crown thinks, no, of course, you can't have him voice. You can't give him a voice. But I don't know how, you can't do a live action without his voice, bro. Like, and then what actor are you going to get to play him? Like, I want to hear Link talk. And it's not going to bug me if Link talks. What's your thoughts on the speaking Link?
Yeah, man. I didn't think
he
about that.
A cartoon, didn't he?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, right? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen
it in so long.
Oh, I have it. I have the DVD. Nice. Between that and, yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be very odd. It would be very odd for them not to do a voice for a character. You know, we've kind of seen that with the cat. You know, you figure games like, obviously, again, we're going to talk Ken's going to hate us, but like Final Fantasy VII came on the PlayStation 1. There was no voices. Yeah. The first time that we ever heard iterations of any of those characters was actually Kingdom Hearts. And I think that came out before Advent Children, the movie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously
we heard like Sephiroth's voice in Kingdom Hearts, right?
All of them, like Tifa, Cloud, they're all Aerith. They're in there.
In the first one, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then like you had, you know, different, I think the same actors and actresses portrayed those characters in Advent Children, but not in the latest Final Fantasy remake. And then even throughout the years, there's, I'm sure they've crossed over in other games or whatever. So yeah, it's weird because it's like you have this in your head, like who you want to play these people. And like, obviously people are already fan casting, but yeah, like Link is going to be a tough one.
I think young, right? Like I want go young, man.
Not yeah, young, I want like a kid, teenage want, like, type of thing.
Teenage to 20s, you know, like. Okay, well, before we talk about casting, because it's kind of my deal with your casting, you had to pick a game storyline. Which one do you pick? Let's say they said, hey, we're going 100% off a plot from one of the games. Which one do you pick? And there's only one right answer here.
Oh, I know. It's Ocarina of Time.
Yes. Okay. I didn't know if I was going to like tip my computer and quit this podcast if you said something else. Like if you're going to say like Four Swords or what was
the, oh God, no.
What was the one where you sail around on the boat?
Oh, Wind Waker.
Wind Waker.
Yeah. It was
which
terrible.
Was kind of fun. I don't know.
No. No.
Yeah, it's you say what? I say Ocarina.
Yeah, Ocarina of Time.
Hell yeah, dude. Give me the Gorons, give me the Zoras, like. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the first time you really had those kind of characters introduced to actually like a role, you know what I mean? Like you had Gorons, you had Zora in like previous games, I think, but they weren't fleshed out. You actually got like backstories to like the different races in Hyrule. Man, I want to see that. Like I want to see a child Link, and I want to see him aged in time, bro. And I want to see adult Link. Yeah.
The only other one I could think of, and it's, I don't know if you really could do like a, as far as game wise, like Twilight Princess, but that's way too crazy. I mean, a Link to the Past.
Link to the Past isn't bad. I mean, honestly, after Ocarina, Link to the Past is like my favorite.
Yeah. Because that was actually the first one that I really had, people, like, I guess, like, because you went to the different towns, so yeah. It made sense to like expanded certain things, but yeah, obviously Ocarina of Time. But again, yeah, like who do you do like a live action, almost like a Lord of the Rings type of thing where it's a longer movie and he's got to go through challenges in a way, like is it a fortress, or are we just going to go straight with just like Link, Zelda, and Ganon, right?
Yeah, and then you also think you have to think about the future as well. Like, right, they're hoping for a franchise. That's what they're doing. I mean, the success of Mario shows, hey, look, it's there. You can do it. They're taking a gamble with live action. Honestly, I'd have been okay with animation as well. So I always feel like with live action, it's the gamble, right? Because you're paying more. You now have to pay big actors. Obviously, you know, Chris Pratt's a big actor and somewhere a lot of the other voices, but I could be completely wrong. I don't think you're paying them the same that you pay for a live action film that you do for voice acting. I'm guessing. I could be completely wrong, but I don't know, man. Live action's obviously, well, I actually don't know. Is live action more expensive than animation? Maybe animation's more expensive. I would think live action, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I guess it all depends because you have all the CGI, so there's that expense. On the flip side, you have all like the sets and costumes, and so
I have no idea, but I'm with it. I'm excited, man. I love Zelda. Zelda's probably my favorite franchise in video games, hands down. Mm-hmm. Period. And I'm a big Final Fantasy guy, but it's Zelda all day, every day. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it really makes like, I know we're currently both playing Starfield. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, now with the it's funny, like the moment the announcement hit, right? And we're in a group chat. Well, no, well that too. But we're in a group chat, Zach and I with some other people, and I immediately wanted to go out and buy the FOMO Zelda 1 because I have a Zelda 1, but it's a second print. I think I have the second. I know I have a second print, and I'm pretty sure I have a raw no price, but I don't have a first print. But then, like I said, like I showed you guys, is realistically a preview or first appearance would be that Nintendo's comics, that black cover with Mario and Captain N. So it's like, well, I have this, but do I go just to FOMO buy like a CGC high grade Zelda 1 first print now? And then I'm thinking like, man, I really want to play Zelda now on the Switch. But
yeah,
maybe 2024, like, because there's really nothing announced. So maybe I actually would probably go back and play Breath of the Wild and we'll go from there.
I went down that rabbit hole when I was playing Breath of the Wild. You know, I played it late, man. Like I really played Breath of the Wild late. Breath of the Wild late. And I was like, man, I should really get Zelda number one. And I looked at the prices. And I mean, they're not bad, dude. They're not out of this world by any means, but probably too late now. The one I haven't played, I'm sitting here looking at it right now, and that's I'm gonna play because I haven't played Tears of the Kingdom either. I needed a break with Breath of the Wild. I'm not as gung-ho on Breath of the Wild as other people were. And like, I don't know if people think that's the best one, but I have the other one I hadn't played and it's sitting here and I want to play next after Starfield is Skyward Sword.
I figured that's what you were going to say too. Cause I hadn't played that one either. And I know that's on the Switch.
Yeah. Cause I just got a Switch like last year or this year. I mean, to play Zelda, literally only have two games. I got the two Zelda games and I probably will only buy Tears of the Kingdom next as well.
My Switch isn't even hooked up anymore. Now that I disassembled it and I just have it as a handheld and I hooked up the Xbox to play Starfield. So
I've never played on the handheld. I always play I have it hooked up and I play like you would a traditional game. I've never actually tried the handheld version of the Switch.
It's not bad. Just kind of like laying on the couch type of thing. But it's still good. I mean, I have the OLED. I have the best one. So.
Yeah, I think that's the one I got too.
It makes me want to go down that rabbit hole and just play those old school games. Like,
well, I bust out all the old ones. I still have a 64 and I have Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask as well. And every once in a while I break out Ocarina of Time and I burn through that baby with no walkthroughs, no nothing. I know where all the secrets are. I'm a water temple master. I'll crush the water temple quick as hell. dude, I love Ocarina of Time. I live for it.
Yeah, I think mine, like if I had to pick a Zelda game, then I know where everything is and know what to do is probably Link to the Past.
That's a good one too.
Like I know exactly where to go, how to get to the Master Sword, like the quickest way, and like where do you need to be at certain points to get to
you gotta get the mirror to go back and forth, the dark realm.
That's my jam.
Nice.
Like,
I have one of those, you know, those little SNES, and they have those like the Sega ones that have like 30 games built into them. Okay. And I literally only bought that for Link to the Past. So it's like other games. Oh, total side note. I've been meaning to talk to you about this. You know what the other game I'm probably going to get here soon is for the Switch is I'm really excited for Mario RPG.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm definitely getting that next week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, 100%. Dude. I was having this conversation with my boss, who is also a gamer. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, I never really liked it, this and that. And I was like,
that was great.
It is the best Mario because the original was done by Squaresoft, which is Final Fantasy. And like I watched like the final preview that IGN did and it's exactly the original game, you know, and they upped the same combat mechanics. In a way it was it was really cool because obviously the way the mechanics were in the first one was you had to hit the buttons at a certain point to like deal more damage and then on defense. And now this time around they have like these triple moves like that depending on who your party is, like you can do with these ultimate moves. It's like, yo, I cannot wait to play. And just seeing the villains in like this more
3D
atmosphere, oh god, I cannot wait for next week to be
honest. Is it completely a like remake? Is it the same characters like you play as like...
Gino
Colin, the
mushroom cloud guy, obviously,
and Bowser too, right?
Yeah
Bowser's on your team. Yeah,
the hardest thing in that game, if you remember, is
Okay.
Do you remember where you had to go and there's like the lily pads and you have to do the musical notes?
Vaguely.
Yeah. Okay.
It's also on that Super NES thing I have. That was another reason. I was like, oh, cool, dude. I'll play this. But then I don't know if I ever got around to it.
Yeah. I remember that being on there, but.
Yeah, it was on that, you know, those little things. Damn, where is that? I think it's up somewhere else. now I want to play that. Screw it. No, I'm just going to wait till the new one comes out.
Yeah, hopefully it's a new one.
Dude.
Can be so good. So that's it for for Legend of Zelda people.
Yeah.
Again, when we get Ken on here, we're definitely going to do like a video game, an all video game show. It's most likely going to be a bonus content thing because I'm not sure people that like video games as much as Zach, myself, and Ken do. And obviously with my people that follow me on Instagram, you've seen my changes a little bit in my collecting, and you know what it is. And this goes back to like what Gabe says, like, you know, love what you collect, collect what you love. Like, who's yeah, Gabe? Man, I've been Gabe.
Just joking.
I don't know. Some guy who's been
my
the
Gabe,
show.
Not Laura's Gabe. My Gabe.
Yeah, you're Gabe.
Okay. I wasn't sure what Gabe you were talking about.
I mean, literally, like I'm a gamer before comics. Like I've been gaming since I was like 4 years old, and you know, going back and buying some of these games, like, you know, finding these games, some of them obviously like CIB, like complete in box, has been so much fun. And like going into stores, I'm like, oh my God, like I'm like, I wanted this game. And but it's like, I'm not playing the games, like I'm just buying them to collect them. Like, I think it's just cool to like display them. And there's so many games out there that I'm sure like you see, like that you don't think about anymore, right? Because they're not franchises anymore. Right. And you just see something and you're like, holy shit, I remember this. Yeah.
I like to live vicariously through you with that because I have no intention of buying those games. Like I just, there's something about a game. Like I know people are like, oh, it's the same with comics. When you get them graded, you can't read them anymore. But like with a game, like I don't like, my mind can't turn that corner where it's like in box encased, like no, dude, that's not for me. So I just like to see what you collect. And then I look at what you got and I'm like, oh yeah, that game and that game. Oh, I remember that game. I remember getting that from Blockbuster. And
yeah,
dude.
It's going to be fun. So, all right, let's round out the show with a review of a TV show. Finally, we actually have something that's completed this week, obviously with Loki coming out on Thursday. We are not going to be reviewing it until next week. So let's review the latest Amazon show, Gen V.
Yeah.
Came out of nowhere. So of course, this is a spinoff of The Boys, the lives of many competitive superheroes in a superhero college. Right. I guess that would be.
Yeah. Like a prep school.
Yeah. Like a, you know, like a superhero college. Obviously, they're all trying to become the best. Obviously, like the valedictorians are the ones that move on to eventually hopefully become part of the Seven. It's great to have this type of show because having a spinoff in the same universe as The Boys, if you've watched the first few seasons of The Boys, there are characters that show up again. Not so much like the Seven, but we are going to be spoiling it. So if you haven't seen Gen V, appreciate you guys and girls listening to this episode, but we're going to definitely go into spoilers for Gen V. But you know, obviously you have the one chick who works for like Vought, right?
Ashley.
Yeah. And then we'll get more into like in Andrea, but just some of the newer characters, right? Like the chick who obviously the chick who plays Marie, like I didn't know how I was going to feel about like her in the beginning, but she was like completely, she definitely was like badass towards the end. Obviously the girl who's like play, who is it? Like the girl who plays like Kate. And then there's Emma. There are all these characters that I feel like you thought you enjoyed more. And I felt like I enjoyed them more.
Yeah.
They definitely grew on me more than some of the characters in The Boys. Right.
Like, okay.
And it's not so much like as in The Boys, right? Cause in The Boys you watch it and you have the non superheroes. So you have like, you know, those guys, and then you have the Seven. So you have like that side, but then on the other side you have all the guys and girls of the Seven. So you're just like, I don't know, do I care about certain people? Like, do I like their storylines? I don't know. But yeah, with this there was just so much to be had, and then there's like so many actors and actresses that fill in the footsteps, or you know, the shoes of like other superheroes, which is great. Some of my favorite points in this was obviously the Jumanji episode where they're in Kate's mind.
Yeah.
And you have Soldier Boy.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Yeah, well, how it was just such a great episode where like, cause he's like he was her imaginary friend, and the way he talks like in the last season of The Boys.
Right. Totally normal. Yeah.
But he's more of like a more of like her imaginary friend. So, you know, he's like, he says something, he's like, oh yeah. He's like, I was there when she first started masturbating or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Like
Soldier Boyfriend is what he's actually special guest as, like, that's what he's listed.
Oh, that's what it says as in the
Soldier
cast.
Boyfriend. Yeah.
you know, I think it was just like a wild show, right? Like with Sam and the way he sees things, like with the puppets, like when he's having sex with Emma. And then even when he destroys all those people that
with
come
the puppets,
for him,
that was crazy in the sewer or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. you know, and then obviously at the end of the show where you kind of toward, well, I guess the last two episodes, you kind of find out about Indira, who was the chick who's like, she's running for one of the government positions.
Yeah. She's vice president.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yeah. By this point, she's vice president. So, you know, you find out that she's obviously, we found out this in the second season of The Boys, that she was super, she was one of the soups, had abilities, but, you know, kept it under control, and her abilities kind of mimic what Marie has. Mm-hmm. And then, just, you know, her demise, which is crazy, right?
Well, no. I think you're confusing. Indira was the,
Right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Indira, you know, she survives, but president. Yeah.
She's the other, she lives. Yeah.
Yeah. The other chick, the
Victoria. Head,
yeah. What are your thoughts on some of the people in this show?
Yeah. I mean, I loved it too, dude. I thought it really kept the vein of like The Boys, the tongue in cheek, the mocking, but like the actual aspects of like society as well. Like I love the, almost the social commentary that happens with The Boys. And I love how it makes fun of everything. Like that's my kind of like how you reference the world, right? Don't choose a side. Don't go left. Don't go right. Go right down the middle and make fun of both of them, 'cause they both deserve your mockery, you know? So I love the way they did it. You know, all the stuff that they do with like the social media and the clicks. And we just kind of talked about clickbait, right? Like, so you're, and I love how the school is divided up. Like, here's superhero school, and here's, you're going to be a movie star. Here, you're going to go on reality TV show, like that kind of stuff. Like, it's hilarious. Like, it's such a joke on like what society really is like. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love the way they fleshed out the characters. I'll tell you, I think who grew on me the most was Jordan Lee, the gender shifter. I thought that was really cool. And like, at first I thought it was going to kind of be this like, you know, woke kind of like, portrayal. Like,
we talked about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, it made most sense. Like, you know, using pronouns of like they, them for Jordan totally makes sense. You know, yes. Like, 'cause it can ship back and forth. And I love how like one's got the energy blast, one's got like the superhuman, like strength, durability type situation. Mm-hmm. And I really loved that character. That character grew on me the most, I believe. But yeah, I loved all the shout outs to the comics as well. Like characters that showed up like Tech Knight, you know, if you read the comics, Tech Knight is like he's kind of a mockery of Batman in the comics. He's got like a suit, just looks like, it looks like an Iron Man cross to Batman in the comics. Obviously that's not what we saw here in the show, but it was a cool shout out to the comic books for people who've read them. I loved all, you know, the Deep showing up, you know, A-Train's like visuals, like in the backgrounds or on commercials and stuff. Like, it just really touched. It really was like part of the universe, but it wasn't part of the universe. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't need it. Some of these shows that go like Marvel does this, where they bring in all the, you know, the big cast, and it's like, because they don't think the strength of their show is strong enough without like the, you know, but you could have taken away all that stuff. Like, you could have taken away like the signs in the background of the Deep and like A-Train, and you could have just said, look, here's a prep school. You've never seen any of these characters. This is in that same universe, and never, you can mention the Seven, but that's it. And it still would have been strong. But yeah. And then of course, like, Homelander shows up, because it would have been weird, right? Like, you're sitting there, and it hadn't got spoiled to me. I don't know if it got spoiled for other people, but like that last episode when it's just pandemonium on the campus, right? Like, the soups are just running wild. And I'm like, okay. I think I even turned to the wife and I was like, well, like, I mean, Homelander's got to show up. He's the only person who could stop this, right? Like, so Homelander flies down, and just the level of scorn on his face for these people, like, oh gosh. Name a better character right now in media than Anthony Starr as Homelander. Like, a better character. Like, I dare you. He just knocks it out of the park.
Yeah. And they said that the next season of The Boys literally picks up a few days after this.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. So at the end of this series, and obviously if you've been watching The Boys too, you know that what has happened, and Ashley even says a lot of things that happened at that last couple of the last couple episodes of the last season of The Boys. And this obviously got greenlit for a season two.
Yeah.
You know, where the characters are they in the woods or some other place?
Yeah, what's the story with them? You know, what's going to happen?
But so I got to ask you, so the entire series, what was the craziest thing that the crudest thing.
It was when she blew up the dick, right? Like,
okay, all right, yeah, all right. Okay.
Or were you talking about with the girl?
No, that's definitely no. Obviously, yes, I have my own, but that
all
that
the penis
was,
things for sure. All the penis.
Well, stuff. Yeah, but no, definitely the blowing up of Rufus's dick was definitely.
Well, and like, okay, so did that happen or not? Because then, like, 30 minutes later, Rufus is walking around like he's still got a non-exploded dick. Like, or was that? I'm confused on that. Like, did that really happen?
Yeah, I think that happened.
Because he's just like walking around, totally happy, still being a piece of shit. Like, does he still got an unexploded penis? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, he wasn't like scared after that, because even like after that, that's when he finally meets like Sam.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's not like he's not a scared child with no penis. But yeah, right. That was definitely the craziest thing. Obviously, the thing with like Emma when she's fucking the guy in the beginning. Yeah, when she's small. Yeah,
just like jerking him off or whatever. So weird, dude. They come up with some of the weirdest shit. And it's almost like this stuff that like I feel like this is what's so great about the boys. It's like, okay, so when Ant-Man and Thanos, what did they call it? The anus thing where it's like, oh, well, Ant-Man will just go, you know, inside Thanos's butt and then explode, you know?
Yeah.
And the boys are like, they hear these things and they're like, let's take that. Let's do something with that. And they do like in the boys where he goes inside the penis or this, you know, it's wild.
Well, even in this, she goes inside the guy's head, that security guy's head.
Oh, dude, that was crazy too. Yeah. It's so good, man. They are just crushing it. And I'm not surprised because Eric Kripke, like, did Supernatural, which is like one of my favorite shows of all time. And I mean, it's just so good. So I'm not surprised that it's this good. So yeah, dude, great show. And I think we have to wait a while though for the boys to come back.
Yeah, I don't know. The Boys Volume 4, season 4.
Right now, if we've got a release date. TBA, still TBA right now.
Ooh.
I'm sure the strike didn't help with that, right?
So. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I guess 2024 doesn't really have a date.
They finished it in April of 2023, filming.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the withhold. Okay, yeah, here we go. Kripke tweeted that they were withholding release of the new season until the WGA strike was resolved. So we'll see what happens.
All right.
But
yeah. All right. Well, that's our little review. I at the end of the day, I think the Amazon has been crushing it with all that stuff. So between the boys and obviously Invincible just came out with that new season and only one episode dropped. And I love the first episode. So before we get out of here, let's just kind of make some announcements. So let's talk about it now. Saturday, April 6, 2024, we will be set up at King Kong number 5 up at Marriott. Up in Park Ridge, New Jersey. Make sure you boys and girls start bookmarking it now, finding out about it. We will be set up. We will be having hopefully a special guest, buying, selling, promoting the podcast, stuff like that, as well as all your local people will be there from the community. So yeah, Saturday, April 6th, King Kong 5.
And I will be there as well.
I cannot wait. And then February, I will be at MegaCon, like I said. Which is going to be fun if someone shows up there. And then, you know, where you can find me, obviously, always on Whatnot, Nemesis Prime. And that's it. What about you?
Yeah, dude, same thing. King Kong, really looking forward to that, kind of being able to finally come out there after talking about it for like 2 years. And then just talking about it on the show, I'm going to have to link up with Ken or maybe even do it solo. And you might see me, you know what I'm thinking I might do is a Twitch for Final Fantasy Remake 2, and you can watch me get a platinum trophy. Just Twitch it up on Final Fantasy. You can watch me play 7, what is it, Rebirth 2 or whatever the hell they're calling it. I can't wait for
Rebirth.
It.
Yeah, the second one's just called Rebirth.
Rebirth, yeah. The first one's called Remake, right? Yeah.
So I guess you could go back through the first one and stream it.
I could.
Just on easy. Just blow through it. Okay. Easy, yeah.
Watch me get my platinum in Rebirth. So... hell yeah.
All right. Well, appreciate everybody, new listeners, old listeners. Thank you for all the support.
For sure.
You know, check us out. If you haven't seen it, check out our past two live videos over on YouTube. Again, typically don't do live shows, so you get to see our mugs for a little bit over there for a few hours. Appreciate Jeff Comic Dunes jumping on. Jeff Binky's jumping on. Had some good times. And then again, just, you know, again, keep up the work. don't be silent about all of the stuff that's going on in the community. And, you know,
yep. See something, say something.
Exactly. That's it for season 3, episode 45. Enjoy the rest of your day, afternoon, evening, and we'll catch you all next week.